بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وخير الأمور عوازمها وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار وبالسند المتصل منا إلى عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص رضي الله تعالى عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم الراحمون يرحمهم الرحمن تبارك وتعالى ارحموا من في الأرض يرحمكم من في السماء رواه أبو داود والترمذي.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الحديث محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار فله الكتاب الجامع الصحيح المسند المختصر من أمور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وسننه وأيامه إمام الأئمة أبي عبد الله محمد بن إسماعيل بن إبراهيم بن المنذر بن المرجد مجعفي البخاري رحمه الله ونفعنا بعلومه آمين.
Of the final year and the other students are doing is very great in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This jama'ah, this group that is from morning till evening engaged in learning and teaching the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is the jama'ah and the group of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. We may not be able to realize their value today. Majority of us do not realize the value of madaris, the value of the centers of ilm, the people of ilm, the fuqaha, the muhaddithun, the mufassirun, the ulama and the huffaz, and the students who are acquiring ilm. But very soon, my friends, after we depart from this world, we will definitely realize the value of this ilm and the people of ilm. Abu Nasr al-Wa'iz, rahimahullah ta'ala, a great scholar, he says that my ustad, my teacher, Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Su'luki, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was the Sayyidul Muhaddisin in his time, he became ill. And one day during his illness, I saw in a dream Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam going to visit Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Su'luki rahimahullah ta'ala with the notable companions Abu Bakr, Umar, Usman, Ali, Bilal, radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. Abu Nasr al-Waiz, rahimahullah ta'ala, says that I am seeing a dream, and in the dream I thought to myself that this is a very good opportunity for me, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his companions is visiting Sayyidul Muhaddisin, my teacher, Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sauluki rahimahullah ta'ala, who is unwell. I should also join this group. So Abu Nasr al-Waiz rahimahullah ta'ala says that in the dream I started following the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba Ridwanullah ta'ala alayhi majma'in. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam entered the home of Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sauluki rahimahullah ta'ala with the companions, and they sat down. I also sat down with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When my gaze fell on my teacher, Muhammad ibn Sulaiman al-Sauluki rahimahullah ta'ala, a thought entered my heart and mind. This man is Sayyidul Muhaddisin. What will happen to the science of hadith if he was to depart from this world? What will happen to the science of hadith if this man was to depart from this world? Because with him, so much knowledge will be buried in the grave. So he said, as soon as this thought crossed my mind, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked towards me and he said, Ya Aba Nasr, O Abu Nasr, la tufakkir fi dhalik. Do not worry about this. Why? He said, Inna Allah ta'ala la yudayyu isabatan ana sayyiduha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never waste that jama'ah, that group, the leader of whom is me, myself. The mashghalah, the engagement, the work of these asatiza, these mashayikh, these shuyukh, these ulama, and these students seem very insignificant to many of us. No, my friends, this is great work, great work. The Sahih al-Bukhari that we have in front of us, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, in order to put this book together, visited 1080 muhaddisin. According to Imam Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, he visited 1080 muhaddisin. And he collected 600 to 700 thousand ahadith. And from that he chose 100,000 ahadith which were sahih. And from those sahih ahadith, he chose approximately 7,000 which were the most sahih, most authentic, for this book of his Sahih al-Bukhari. The ulama have toiled in order to preserve the Quran and the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Allama ibn Manda rahimahullah ta'ala, he acquired ilm from the mashayikh who were present in his own town, in his own city, until he reached the age of 20. At the age of 20, he left his hometown and he did not return until he was 65. For 45 years he remained in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, collecting ahadith. The muhaddisin are unanimous that no one has collected more ahadith than Ibn Manda rahimahullah ta'ala. Because when he returned after 45 years, he got married at the age of 65. When he returned at the age of 65, after 45 years, the collection of ahadith that he had gathered within this period were being carried by 40 camels. Mamun al-Rashid was once visited by Yahya ibn Aksam rahimahullah ta'ala. So Mamun al-Rashid said, Yahya ibn Aksam rahimahullah ta'ala was a great muhaddis. Mamun al-Rashid said, Man a'azzun nas, who is the most honorable from the people? So Yahya ibn Aksam rahimahullah ta'ala said, O Amirul Mu'minin, you are the most honorable, because you are looking after the affairs of hundreds of thousands of Muslimin. You are looking after the ulama, you are looking after the muftis, you are looking after the masajid, you are looking after the madaris, you are looking after the awqaf, you are looking after the orphans, you are looking after so many people. So who can be more honorable than you? And your family lineage goes right up to Hazrat Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are Abbasi. Mamun al-Rashid said, no, I am not the most honorable from amongst the people. Shall I tell you who is the most honorable from amongst the people? So Yahya ibn Aksam rahimahullah ta'ala said, yes, do tell me who is the most honorable from amongst the people. He said, that alim who is sitting in a corner of the masjid or a corner of the madrasa with 5, 10, 15 students, and he is saying, Haddasana fulanun an fulanin an fulanin an is-sahabiyyi an rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That insignificant poor alim who is sitting with insignificant poor masakin in the corner of a masjid, in the corner of a madrasa, and he is saying, Haddasana fulanun an fulanin, so and so has narrated to me from so and so, from so and so, from the sahabi, from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Yahya ibn Aksam rahimahullah ta'ala said, O Amirul Mu'mineen, this person is even more honorable than you. You are Abbasi. You belong to the family of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are the grandchild of Abbas radiallahu anhu, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are looking after so many deeni matters. He said, Naam Vailak. Yes. This person is the most honorable. Why? لِأَنَّ إِسْمَهُ مُقْتَنِنٌ بِإِسْمِ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ. Because his name, through the chain of narration, is joined with the name of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. The last sanad of the last hadith of Bukhari Sharif, حَدَّثَنَا أَحْمَدُ بْنُ أَشْكَابُ. How many of us know Ahmad ibn Ashkab? Muhammad ibn Fudail. How many of us know Muhammad ibn Fudail? What do we know about Muhammad ibn Fudail? Umar ibn al-Qaqa. How many of us know Umar ibn al-Qaqa? Yes, Abu Zur'a. Many people know Abu Zur'a. Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu is a well-known figure. But how many of us know Ahmad ibn Ashkab and Muhammad ibn Fudail and Umar ibn al-Qaqa? Even the teachers of Bukhari need to refer to the Shuruhat to know who Ahmad ibn Ashkab is, to know who Muhammad ibn Fudail is, to know Umar ibn Qaqa is. But their names can never vanish until the day of Qiyamah, because they have become part of this chain. Just now we heard this beloved student of ours reciting his chain of narration, wherein he mentioned Maulana Abdus Salam Sahib and Mufti Muhammad Wasim Sahib. Now both of them are part of this chain. So Mamun Rashid said that this person who is teaching in a corner of a masjid or corner of a madrasa, he is the most honorable from amongst the people. Why? Because his name, through the chain of narration, is joined with the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And for as long as the name of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam will remain, his name will also remain. He said, "Nahnu nafna wa namut." We will perish. We will die. Fala yamutu abada. The name of this teacher will never perish. This person will never die. He will remain alive. Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanutwi rahimahullah ta'ala. We know more about him than our own fathers. Allama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi, we know more about him than our own fathers. Maulana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahimahullah ta'ala, we know more about him than our own fathers. These ulama, these shuyukh, these students are indeed very fortunate souls, my friends. Very, very fortunate souls. These students, both male, female, their parents are very fortunate that the ilm of hadith and the ilm of Quran and the ilm of nubuwa has entered their homes through the barakah of this Darul Ulum, through the barakah of these ulama, through the barakah of the shuyukh. Abu Muawiyah Muhaddis, another great Muhaddis, Abu Muawiyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he was blind. He used to frequently visit Harun al-Rashid. Harun al-Rashid had lot of love for ulama, despite being a caliph. So one day, Abu Muawiyah had lunch or supper with Harun al-Rashid, and after food, they were washing hands. So somebody was pouring water over the hands of Abu Muawiyah al-Muhaddis, and Abu Muawiyah was washing his hands. And Harun al-Rashid said, "Do you know who is serving you?" So he said, "No, I don't know who is serving me, who is pouring water over my hand." He said, "It is Amirul Mu'minin, Harun al-Rashid." And he said, "I am serving you because of the ilmi hadith that you have. You are a muhaddis. Out of reverence for the ahadith and out of love for ahadith, I am serving you, Amirul Mu'minin." It is for this reason, Ali radiyallahu ta'ala anhu used to say, "Radina qismat al-jabbari feena. لَنَا عِلْمٌ وَلِلْجُهَّالِ مَالُ فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاقٍ لَا يَزَالُ رَضِينَ قِسْمَةَ الْجَبَّارِ فِينَا. We have become happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَنَا عِلْمٌ, He has granted us ilm and not wealth. وَلِلْجُهَّالِ مَالُ, And others, He has granted wealth but not ilm. Wealth is also a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The wealthy people should be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ni'mat. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not bestow the wealthy people with wealth and thereafter the correct understanding, we would not have been sitting in this masjid today. So wealth is also a great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is regarding wealth, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Dhalika fadlullahi yutihi man yasha." This is the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will grant it to whomsoever He wishes. So wealth, if earned through halal sources and spent correctly, is a very great ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But ilm is even more greater ni'mat. Even more greater ni'mat. So Ali radiyallahu anhu said, "Radina qismat al-jabbari feena." We are happy with the distribution of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لَنَا عِلْمٌ, Allah has granted us ilm, not wealth. We are not so wealthy, but alhamdulillah, we have the wealth of ilm. Ilm is also wealth. وَلِلْجُهَالِ مَالُ, And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted others wealth, plenty of wealth, but they are not ulama. Allah has not granted them ilm. Why? Because He says, فَإِنَّ الْمَالَ يَفْنَى عَنْ قَرِيبٍ. A time will come when the wealth will perish. Either the wealthy will leave the wealth, or the wealth will leave the wealthy. وَإِنَّ الْعِلْمَ بَاكٍ لَا يَزَالُ. Ilm will remain forever and ever. The ulama are the only professionals who will have their titles even in Jannah. Mufti Wasim Sahib is not Mufti as long as he is in this world. No, he will remain Mufti in this world. In the grave also he will be called Mufti Wasim. And on the day of Qiyamah, when he is resurrected, he will be inshallah resurrected with this title Mufti. And when he will be granted entry into Jannah, inshallah, even in Jannah, forever and ever, he will be called Mufti Wasim, not only Wasim. Dr. Iqbal will not remain Dr. Iqbal, he will become Iqbal in the hereafter. Engineer Salim will not remain Engineer Salim in the hereafter. He will become Salim only. These titles will remain with the ulama, with the muftis, with the huffaz, even in the hereafter. So, I congratulate the students and their families. and I pray for the shuyukh and the asatidha and the fudala and the students of this madrasa, that may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept them for more khidmah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase them in their ilm, in their amal, in their khulus, in their sincerity, in their zeal. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lengthen their shadows upon the people of Trinidad, upon the people of the whole world. And may their faith reach the four corners of the world. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them such students who will carry forward their legacy and who will become sadaqai jariya for them, who will become sadaqai jariya. My young ulama who are graduating today, my daughters who are graduating today, ilm is very virtuous, there is no doubt. There is no doubt ilm is virtuous, but that ilm is virtuous which is followed by amal. Without amal, ilm is useless. Without amal, ilm is useless. Abdullah ibn Masud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu says, Laysal ilmu bikasratil riwayah. Narrating so many ahadith and conveying so many ahadith to other people is not ilm. Wa innama al-ilmu al-khashiyyatu lillah. Ilm is khashiyya. Ilm is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why ilm is fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because it is this fear that will encourage and guide a person towards amal. It is through khashiyya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a person will carry out the do's of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and abstain from the don'ts of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Khashiyya. So amal. So ilm without amal is only information. This is permissible, this is not permissible, this is jais, this is not jais, this is halal, this is it's only information. So if a person is aware of a certain Islamic ruling that this is not permissible, this is information, but whilst knowing that this is not permissible, he abstains from it, now this is ilm. But if a person has information that this is not permissible and he does not abstain from it, for this person this is not ilm, this is information only. Imam Shabi rahimahullah ta'ala was once going somewhere and somebody called him from behind because he wanted to ask him a mas'ala. Ya ayyuhal alim, O alim. So he turned behind and he said, Al alimu man yakhafullah. Alim is he who has the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Mujahid rahimahullah ta'ala says, Al faqihu man yakhshallah. Faqih is he who has the khashiyat of Allah, who has the fear of Allah. Yahya ibn Abi Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala says, Al-alimu man yakhshallah. Alim is he who fears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sufyan ibn Uyayna rahimahullah, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala says, Laysa talabul hadithi an fulanin. Laysa talabul ilmi an fulanin an fulanin. He says, Sufyan al-Thawri rahimahullah ta'ala, he says that, an fulanin, haddasana fulanun, an fulanin, that is not seeking ilm. So what is seeking ilm? He said, wa innama talabul hadithi al khashiyyatu lillah. Seeking ilm is acquiring with the words, with the information, khashiyya in the heart, tazkiyya of the heart. Tazkiyya of the heart. And Sufyan ibn Uyayna, rahimahullah ta'ala, very beautifully says, Laysal alim. From today you will be seen as ulama in the eyes of the public. You are graduating today. So we need to understand who an alim in reality is. He says, Laysal alim alladhi yariful khayra min ash-shar. That person is not an alim who can distinguish between khair and shar. He is not an alim. He is not an alim who can distinguish between khair and shar. Who is alim? Wa innaman alimul ladhi yariful khayra fayattabi'uhu wa yariful sharra fayajtanibuhu. He says that the true alim or the only alim is that person who recognizes khair and he follows that khair, and who recognizes shar and who abstains from that shar. Ilm and amal. ilm and amal. So many virtues for ilm, for ulama, for those engaged in the field of hadith, field of tafsir, science of fiqh, teaching, learning. خيركم من تعلم القرآن وعلمه. Best amongst you are those who learn the Quran and who teach the Quran. But ilm with amal, that ilm is useless which is not followed by amal. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, we know him, we the ulama, the talaba, the academics know Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala as a very great personality from one perspective only, perspective of ilm. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, great personality. Why? Because his ilmi achievement, academic achievement, Sahihul Bukhari. Was that the reason why Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was granted maqbooliyat and acceptance by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Because of Sahihul Bukhari? No. No. If Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi's life was not adorned with the ilm that he had acquired, today nobody would have known his Sahihul Bukhari. His Sahihul Bukhari became accepted throughout the world, and his name became maqbool and accepted throughout the world because of his taqwa, because of his amal on ilm. One of the most difficult commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to carry out, especially in this day and age, is to abstain from ghibah, from backbiting. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not question me on the day of Qiyamah regarding ghibah because I have not backbited anybody. It is this amal. It was due to the barakah of this amal that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened his heart for ilm, and he continued progressing in ilm and with ilm in amal, ilm, amal, ilm, amal, ilm, amal, and today we see the Sahihul Bukhari where it is today and the status of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Even his ustad Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi, from whom he narrates so many ahadith in Sahihul Bukhari, he says, ma kharijat Khurasan misla Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. Khurasan has not produced anybody like Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. The great muhaddith Muhammad ibn Ishaq ibn Khuzaymah rahimahullah ta'ala says, ma tahta adim is-samai alamu bil hadith min Muhammad ibn Ismail. Under the roof of the sky there is no one more knowledgeable in the science of hadith than Muhammad ibn Ismail al-Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala. And Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, despite all his greatness, he came to Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala once and he said, ashhadu annahu laysa fi dunya mislu. I bear witness that there is nobody like you in the whole world. And one day he came and he kissed the forehead of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, Imam Muslim rahimahullah ta'ala, and he said, dani uqabbiru rijlayk ya ustad al-ustadin wa ya sayyid al-muhaddisin. Oh, the leader of all the muhaddisin, oh, the teacher of all the teachers, please give me permission to kiss your feet. I want to kiss your feet. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala was granted this status because of amal. Amal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, man amila bima alim, allamahu allahu ma lam ya'alam. One who practices what he learns, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teach him that which he does not know. So this is the easiest and the best way of progressing in ilm. What you learn, you practice, Allah will teach you that which you do not know. You practice that, Allah will teach you something else. You practice that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will teach you something else. Ilm and amal. Ilm. Ilm is, the fountain of ilm is Quran. And what does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say regarding Quran? Al-Quran ahabbu ila Allah min as-samawati wal ard. Quran is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the heavens and the earth. And what does the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say regarding the masajid? Ahabbul biladi ila Allah masajiduha. The most beloved portions on this earth are the masajid. So most beloved places are the masajid. And the most beloved, the most beloved thing in the heavens and in the earth to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ilm. Why is ilm the most beloved and why is masjid the most beloved? It's an occasion of the completion of Bukhari Sharif and the opening, formal opening of this masjid. This thought has just occurred now. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that masjid is the most beloved place and ilm is most beloved to him? Why? Because ilm is the tool for amal and masjid is the place for amal. Because of amal, ilm has become very beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and because of amal, masjid has become very beloved in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And masjid is so beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I commend and I congratulate all those people who have taken part in the construction of this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. From the management to the donors to the volunteers, whatever little, large we were able to contribute in constructing this masjid, there is glad tidings for each and every one of us. Because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man bana lillahi masjidan bana Allahu lahu baytan fil jannah." Again, same virtue. Masjid is very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ilm is very beloved to Allah. Here, Allah says, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, one who constructs a masjid for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah will construct a palace for him in Jannah. And on the other side, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, man salaka tariqan yalbamisu fihi ilman, sahala Allahu lahu tariqan ilal Jannah. Construction of masjid will take a person in Jannah and acquisition of ilm will take a person in Jannah. Why? Because ilm is the tool for amal and masjid is the place for amal. And in the riwayah of Ibn Majah Sharif, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man bana lillahi masjidan walau kamafhasi qatat. In Bukhari Sharif, man bana lillahi masjidan, one who constructs a masjid for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, banallahu lahu baytan fil jannah, Allah will grant him a palace in Jannah. So the poor people will think to themselves that how can we construct a whole masjid and acquire a palace in Jannah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the riwayah of Ibn Majah Sharif said that one who builds a masjid the size of the nest of a bird called qatat, a small masjid, size of the nest of a bird qatat, Allah will grant him a palace in Jannah also. But the question arises here as to who will be able to perform salah in a masjid which is the size of a nest of a bird. So the muhaddithin say that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is showing the virtue of constructing masajid, that whoever donates towards the construction of masajid, even if it is only 1 cent or 1 penny, Allah will grant that person a palace in Jannah also. So ilm is the tool for amal and masjid is the place for amal. It is for this reason both are very much beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The first person, Allama Qurtubi rahmatullahi alayhi says that the first person to light a candle or a lantern in al-masjidun nabawi was Tamimud Dari radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. He was the first person who lit a candle. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived for Maghrib Salah, or maybe it was for Isha Salah, and very first time he saw lanterns or candles in Masjid Nabawi, so he asked that who has lit these candles? Who has lit these lanterns? Now the Sahaba, Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, do not know whether this amal of Tamim Dari radiyallahu anhu has made the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam happy or unhappy. So very reluctantly they said Tamim Dari radiyallahu anhu. What did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said, "Oh Amit Tamim Dari, come here." He said, "Ya Tamim Dari, navvarta masajidana navvarallahu qalbak." He said, "Oh Tamim Dari, you have enlightened my masjid. I pray for you that may Allah enlighten your heart." And thereafter he said, "All my daughters are married. All my daughters are married. All four of them married. Law kanat li ibnatun, if I had an unmarried daughter today, What you have done today, the khidmat of the masjid, the service of the masjid, قَدْ زَوَّجْتُكَهَا, I would have given you the daughter of my in marriage. This is how much beloved service to the masjid, service to the masjid is in the eyes of the Allah and His Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. So my brothers, let us utilize this masjid and all the masajid correctly. We should enter the masjid according to the sunnah method. We place our right foot first and say Bismillah, and then say Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillah, and then say Allahumma ghfir li dhunubi waftah li abwaab rahmatik, and then say, oh Allah, for as long as I am in the masjid, I am making intention for itikaf. And thereafter, like our respected Mufti Sahib has already mentioned, that we engage ourselves in adhkar, in salat, in tilawat. And we should not find ourselves talking about dunya in the masjid. We should not find ourselves making noise in the masjid. We should not find ourselves disturbing those people who are engaged in worship in the masjid. Because it is something very much disliked by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. We should try to spend as much time as possible in the masajid. Nowadays, alhamdulillah, those brothers who do attend masajid, who do come for 5 times salat regularly, they will come right on time and leave straight after salat. They will come in the last minute and go in the first minute after salat. No, if we have free time, let us try to spend time in the masjid. Let us try to come 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, half an hour early. Even the students, in your free time, try to come and utilize the masjid. Because these places are the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا بُنِيَتِ الْمَسَاجِدُ لِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Masajid are built only for the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and anything associated to the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imagine a place, this boundary, it has been fixed for dhikr of Allah now. How much beloved this place must be. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said that when we the people living on the earth, in the darkness of the night, when we look towards the sky, all we can see is darkness except for those stars which are shining. So when the people in the heavens, the angels, when they look at the earth, they can see nothing but darkness. And those places where a person is remembering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that place shines like the star for them. Any place, in the park, in your home, wherever a person engages in ibadah, in the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that place shines for the people in the heavens. So what can we say about that place which is fixed for the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And wherein all the time people are only worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no dunya, nobody talks about dunya in the masjid. There is a very beautiful couplet in the Urdu language. Hazrat Maulana As'adullah Sahib, rahimahullahu ta'ala, he was the Nazim of the well-known Darul Ulum, Mazahirul Ulum, Saharanpur, where Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Muhammad Zakariya, rahimahullahu ta'ala, used to teach. He was Nazim. He was responsible for the madrasa during the time of Shaykhul Hadith Maulana Zakariya, rahimahullahu ta'ala. He was the Khalifa of Hakim ul Ummat Maulana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullahi alayhi. He was a very good poet as well. So he says, Rashk karta hai falak aisi zameen par asad. Rashk karta hai falak aisi zameen par asad. He says that the heavens, they are envious of that portion of the earth. Rashk karta hai, despite all its grandeur and highness, the heavens are envious of that portion of the earth wherein for a few moments Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remembered. Rashk karta hai falak aisi zami par asad jis pe do char ghadi zikre khuda hota hai. For a few moments wherein the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes place, even the heavens are envious. Heavens, where lies Jannah, where lies the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is on this earth? Nothing. But despite that, they are envious. So we need to make sure that we practically make this masjid and all the other masajid which we are associated to the place of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the place of the ibadat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We should try to spend as much time as possible in the masjid. When we are in the masjid, our hearts should be focused towards Allah only. And when we are outside the masjid, our hearts should be in the masjid. When can I go back? When can I return? Rajulun qalbuhu muallakun bil masajid. Rajulun qalbuhu muallak bil masajid. Those people whose hearts remain in the masjid, while they are outside, they will be given shade under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الرَّجُلِ يَعْتَادُ الْمَسَاجِدِ. When you see a person who regularly visits the masjid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاشْهَدُ لَهُ بِالْإِيمَانِ. Then bear witness that he is a mu'min. He is definitely a mu'min, because if he was not a mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would not have granted him the tawfiq to come to the masjid regularly, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whilst in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we must maintain silence, we must hold fast to the adab of the masajid. Adab of the masajid. When we come early, for as long as we remain waiting for salah, we are in salah. Whether we are performing salah or not, we are in salah. So a person comes 15 minutes before salah and he waits for salah, no tilawat, no zikr, nothing, he just sits there silently. As long as he does not engage in any futile activity, any worldly activity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him reward of performing salah. And after salah, if a person is able to sit for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, then whilst in the masjid after salah, as long as he does not engage in worldly activities again, and his wuzu remains intact, his tahara remains intact, then angels make dua for him. Allahumma gfir lahu warhamhu. Allahumma gfir lahu warhamhu. Oh Allah, grant this person forgiveness. Oh Allah, grant this person mercy. So I was saying that there is ilm, masjid is very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is place for amal. And ilm is very beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because it is tool for amal. So we need to combine both together, ilm and amal. As I said earlier, if Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi did not have amal in his life, we would not have known Imam Bukhari today. There have been so many people who are muhaddisun, but nobody knows, fuqaha, nobody knows them today. Imam Malik rahimahullahu ta'ala, when he began authoring Muwatta, somebody came to him and somebody said that other muhaddisun are also compiling Muwatta. So Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala said, fine, more the merrier, alhamdulillah. If other people, because there was sincerity in the heart, no jealousy, sincerity, alhamdulillah, more the merrier. But he said, only that Muwatta will remain in this world which was authored with true ikhlas. Now today in this world we see only one Muwatta, narrated by two different ravis, but there is only one Muwatta of Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala. So with ilm, amal is very important. I urge all my graduating students, my daughters, hold fast to ilm and hold fast to amal. This should be your occupation until you breathe your last, ilm and amal. And this is what Bukhari Sharif also teaches us. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala begins the book with the hadith, innamal a'malu bin niyyat. Innamal a'malu bin niyyat. And after innamal a'malu bin niyyat, he carries on with wahi revelation. And through wahi he establishes the risalah and the nubuwah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once the risalah and nubuwah of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is established through his teachings, he brings Kitabul Iman. After Kitabul Iman, Ilm, then Tahara, then Salah, then Sawm, then Zakah, and so Hajj. Every aspect of a human's life. So first Ikhlas, and then every aspect of human life until وَنَذَوُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. in order for our a'mal to be weighty, in order for our a'mal to be heavy on the day of Qiyamah, there are two conditions. One is ikhlas and the other is ittiba'i sunnat. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is saying that on the day of Qiyamah, the a'mal will be weighed. And you will only become successful if you have a'mal and those a'mal are heavy. And the a'mal will only be heavy if they have sincerity and ittiba'i sunnat. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala says that innama al-amalu bin niyyat, make sure sincerity is there. And after innama al-amalu bin niyyat, the whole Bukhari Sharif, study properly and make sure that whatever you do in life, you do it according to the way shown by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. If you are able to do that, وَنَذَعُ الْمَوَازِينَ الْقِسْتَ لِيَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ وَأَنَّ أَعْمَالَ بَنِي آدَمَ وَقَوْلَهُمْ يُوزًا, everything that you have done and everything that you have said will be weighty in the mizan, inshallah. And you will become successful in the hereafter. So hold fast to ilm also, ilm. Many graduates after graduating in Urdu, in madaris where the ta'lim, the medium of education is Urdu, we say farig ho gaya, farig. Farig ho gaya, farig. That means now he has completed his studies. Farig means free ho gaya. He has become free now. Free. So I always tell the students in my madrasa that you are not becoming farig today. You have become farig the day you took admission in the madrasa. You have become farig from everything. The day you took admission in the madrasa, from the time you have taken admission in the madrasa until you breathe your last, your only occupation inshallah will be ilm and amal, ilm and amal, ilm and amal. And amal, amal, in amal is propagation also. So ilm, amal, ilm, the ummah needs young, sharp ulama like you. The ummah needs you. So do not waste the efforts of your parents, do not waste the efforts of your asatiza. Your parents and your asatiza, when you were studying for 5 years, 6 years, they were waiting for this day that a time is going to come when this student of mine is going to graduate, and inshallah I expect him to do this, and I expect this student to do this. They were dreaming all 5 years, dreaming, seeing dreams about you. Don't shatter their dreams. Don't shatter their dreams. Become sadaqah jariyah for them. Become sadaqah jariyah for them. Become a means of salvation for them by engaging in ilm and amal. And if you engage in ilm and amal, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself will fulfill all your needs, inshallah. Don't let this thought enter your mind that I will become poor, I will remain a poor person, I will remain a needy person. No. Have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And hand over all your affairs to Allah. Say to Allah that, oh Allah, I want to engage in ilm and amal, and I want to serve your deen. I want to serve the ummah of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You look after me. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after you. If he is looking after your asatidha, if he is looking after your shuyukh and your teachers, will he not look after you? Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi alayhi used to say that in 1400 years, show me one alim who has died out of hunger. He used to say that show me one alim who has committed suicide because he could not support himself or his family. He said, you will not find a single alim. And Mufti Shafi Sahib rahmatullahi used to say that I can give you a list of graduates who have committed suicide because after graduating they could not find jobs and they could not look after their families. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will look after you. So hold fast to ilm and amal and propagation, and become the coolness of the eyes of your parents, become the coolness of the eyes of your shuyukh and mashayikh, for people like me also, inshallah, and become the means of our salvation in the hereafter. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you, myself, all of us, the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept all of us. The last hadith narrated by the teacher of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala, Ahmad ibn Ashkab, my sanad and the sanad of Maulana Shiraz Sahib Hafidhahullah ta'ala is same. I have studied the whole Bukhari Sharif from beginning till end from my teacher Sakinul Baqi Hazrat Aqdas Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, who had studied the whole of Bukhari Sharif from his Ustad, Mufti Azam Hind, Mufti Kifayatullah Sahib Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, who had studied the whole of Bukhari from his Ustad, Shaykhul Hind, Maulana Mahmudul Hasan Sahib Deobandi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, who had studied the whole of Bukhari Sharif from Qasimul Ulum wal Khairat, Hadrat Maulana Muhammad Qasim Nanotwi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, who had studied the whole of Bukhari Sharif from his Ustad, Sheikh Abdul Ghani Muhaddis Dehlavi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, who had studied from Shah Muhammad Ishaq Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, who had studied from Shah Abdul Aziz Muhaddis Dehlavi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala, and who had studied the whole of Bukhari Sharif from his father, Shah Waliullah Sayyid Muhaddis Dehlavi Rahimahullahu Ta'ala. This is my sanad, and I give permission of the first hadith which I had recited, Musalsah bil Awwaliyya, and also of Bukhari Sharif with Bisharaitil Mu'tabarati Indal Muhaddisin, as long as you hold fast to taqwa and you stay on the manhaj of the Salafi Salihin, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, as explained by our Akabir of Deoband. The first hadith, the last hadith, is narrated by Ahmad ibn Ashqab. The teacher of Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is Ahmad ibn Ashqab. And the first hadith, the teacher there is Humaydi. The hadith innama al-amalu bin-niyyat, Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala takes from his ustad Humaydi. And here he takes this hadith from Ahmad ibn Ashqab. In Humaydi there is hamd, and in Ahmad there is hamd. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is indicating that anything from the first hadith to the last hadith is nothing but mahmud, praiseworthy. Everything I have taken in this book is praiseworthy. And he is also indicating that the person who learns everything from the first hadith to the last hadith and lives his life accordingly will be mahmud in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also in the eyes of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will be mahmud in this world and he will be mahmud in the hereafter. Also Imam Bukhari rahimahullah ta'ala is indicating lahul hamdu fil ula wal akhirah, that a person should live a life of shukr, hamd and gratitude right from the time he becomes baligh until he passes away. He should engage in the hamd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If he does that, then inshallah one day a time will come in the hereafter when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him entry into Jannah, and he will say, wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So if he spends his life with hamd, then he will enter Jannah with hamd inshallah. Ahmad ibn Ashaq haddathana Ahmad wa bihi qala haddathana Ahmad ibn Ashqab qala haddathana Muhammad ibn Fudayl an Umar ibn al-Qaqai nabi zurata nabi Hurairah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qala qala an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kalimatan habibatan ila ar-rahman khafifatan ala al-lisan thaqilatan fil mizan subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallah al-azim. Abu Hurairah radiyallahu anhu reports, he says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are two sentences. Kalimatan here, kalimatun is in the meaning of kalam. So kalimatan ay kalamane. There are two sentences, habibatan ilar rahman, which are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. The indication is that if these two sentences are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, then the one who will make these two sentences part of his wird will also become beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us all make a firm resolution that inshallah from today we will recite at least 100 times daily these two sentences. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallahil azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi subhanallahil azim. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi Subhanallah al-Azim. Kalimatani habibatani ilar Rahman. Two sentences which are very beloved to Rahman ta'ala. خفيفتان على اللسان. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that two sentences are beloved to Rahman ta'ala. The thought would have occurred that if these two sentences are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, then both sentences must be very difficult. Because something that is more difficult, that requires more sacrifice, brings more love from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is answering this question mark, that yes, they are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, but it will be very difficult for me to include it in my wird, because they must be very difficult. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, no, it is not difficult. They are beloved to Rahman ta'ala, but at the same time, khafifatani ala lisan. They are light on the tongue. Then the question would arise that if they are light on the tongue, then the reward will be very less. So they will be very, very light in the mizan, so what's the point? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam removes that doubt and he says, very light on the tongue, saqilatan fil mizan, but very heavy in the mizan. And what are they? Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance. Allama Qastalani rahimahullahu ta'ala says, I will end my talk. Allama Qastalani rahmatullah, I'm concluding. Allama Qastalani rahimahullahu ta'ala says that Imam Tirmizi rahimahullahu ta'ala has quoted a hadith, man jalasa majlisan, one who sits in a gathering, and in that gathering lot of talk, gossip, layani, not kabair but maybe sagair, layani, wasting of time. فقال قبل أن يقوم من مجلسه ذلك من جلس مجلسا وكثر فيه لغته. One who sits in a majlis, and in that majlis there is lot of layani, gossip, not reaching up to kabair but maybe sagair, and before getting up from that majlis the person says, سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وأشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive his sins. Allama Qastalani rahmatullahi alayhi says that in this dua, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk, the main part is Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. So Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala is ending his Bukhari Sharif with this dua, Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi subhanallahi al-azim. Because our majlis began last year in Shawwal with Babun Kayfa Kana Badul Wahyi ila Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that majlis continued many hours on a weekly basis from our two shuyukh. And we as students make mistakes. We are not so particular as regards to the adab of the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allama Qastalani rahimahullahu ta'ala says that Imam Bukhari rahimahullahu ta'ala is completing this long majlis of Bukhari Sharif with this hadith, which is the kaffaratul majlis. And we hope from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all our shortcomings during the past year. And our Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Islamul Haq Sahib rahimahullahu ta'ala, used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gathered all of you together also today. And it is hoped that through the barakah of these asatidah and these students who have studied the whole of Bukhari Sharif throughout the year, and the Bukhari Sharif is being completed with the dua, kaffaratul majlis, inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive the sins of all present also. I am very, very grateful to the management of Darul Uloom, Maulana Abdus Salam Sahib, Maulana Mufti Wasim Sahib, Maulana Siraj Sahib. In reality, this is not being humble or anything, it's a reality. I do not deserve this honor, but I only accepted the invitation with this thought in mind, that if I travel to Trinidad with two intentions, one intention is the dars of a hadith of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, and second intention, participating in the formal opening of a house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe this portion of the earth may give shahada on the day of qiyamah, and it may become a means of my forgiveness. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all best of reward for thinking good about me, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make me according to how you think about me. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen, wal aqibatu lil muttaqeen, was salatu was salamu ala rasulihi sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. ربنا اغفر لنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم. يا مصرف القلوب صرف قلوبنا على طاعتك، يا مقلب القلوب ثبت قلوبنا على دينك. اللهم احفظنا من كل بلاء الدنيا وعذاب الآخرة. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها ومولاها. اللهم أصلح لنا شأننا كله ولا تكلنا إلى أنفسنا طرفة عين ولا تنزع منا صالح ما أعطيتنا. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى واجعل آخرتنا خيرا من الأولى. اللهم زيننا بزينة الإيمان واجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا. اللهم اجعل حركاتنا وسكناتنا كلها في محبتك وتقواك. اللهم لا تؤمنا مكرك ولا تنسنا ذكرك ولا تهتك عنا سترك ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين ولا تجعلنا من الغافلين. اللهم رب زدني علما. اللهم رب زدني علما. اللهم رب زدني علما. اللهم اجعلنا من خدام دينك وعشاكك وعشاك حبيبك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اجعلنا من التوابين واجعلنا من المتطهرين واجعلنا من عبادك الصالحين المخلصين المخلصين المحبوبين. اللهم اجعلنا من أوليائك المقربين الصديقين. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الربانيين. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الخاشعين. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الخاشعين. اللهم اجعلنا من العلماء الخاشعين. اللهم اهدنا بفضلك فيمن هديت، وعافنا فيمن عافيت، وتولنا فيمن توليت، وبارك لنا فيما اعطيت، وقنا واصرف عنا شر ما قضيت، فإنك تقضي ولا يقضى عليك، إنه لا يذل من واليت ولا يعز من عاديت. تباركت ربنا وتعاليت، نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك. وصلى الله على النبي الأمي الكريم. اللهم احفظ الحرمين الشريفين والمسجد الأقصى المبارك، واجعل اللهم آمنة مطمئنة وسائر بلاد المسلمين. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين يا أرحم الراحمين، have mercy upon us. O أرحم الراحمين، forgive our sins. Forgive the sins of our parents, our families, our friends, our associates. O أرحم الراحمين، forgive the sins of the whole ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon the whole Ummah. Forgive the sins of the whole Ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, for as long as you keep us alive, keep us steadfast on your deen. When you take us from this world, take us with the kalima, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us your love, grant us your nearness, grant us your recognition. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the love for your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the tawfiq to emulate your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us husn-e khatima, grant us husn-e khatima, grant us husn-e khatima, grant us a departure with vilayat, with siddiqiyat. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the horrors of the grave, save us from the punishment of the day of qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us shade under your throne on the day of qiyamah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us our book of deeds in our right hand. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make pul sirat easy for us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us entry into Jannah without any reckoning. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us the company of the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from the fire of Jahannam. Save us from your wrath and anger. O Arhamur Rahimeen, save us from everything that brings your displeasure, and grant us the tawfiq to do everything that brings your pleasure. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us, have mercy upon us. O Arhamur Rahimeen, every good that your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seek from you, grant it to us. And every evil from which your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has seek refuge, grant us refuge. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant these students immense acceptance. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant them acceptance in your court. O Arhamur Rahimeen, make all of them, the boys and the girls, the means of salvation for their parents, for their families, for their teachers, for all of us, for the whole ummah. O Arhamur Rahimeen, O Arhamur Rahimeen, accept them for ilm, amal and propagation, all three. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant this masjid immense acceptance. Everybody who strove towards the construction of this masjid, O Allah, make it a means of salvation in the hereafter for everybody. O Arhamur Rahimeen, grant us every khair of this world and every khair of the hereafter, and save us from every evil of this world and every evil of the hereafter. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim wa tub alayna innaka antat tawwabur rahim. Rabbi ighfir warham wa anta khairur rahimin. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun. وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين.